Thank you. Well, welcome for this session, and congratulations on waking up so early after yesterday evening. It's always hard on Sunday morning to trust them. And thank you for those who are watching online. So who am I? My name is Anis, as Mahmoud said. You can follow me on social media, find my blog here. I'm writing this Game Gear emulator called Gears. This is not the subject of this talk, but maybe I'll tell you a bit more about the Game Gear hardware so you can see how that helps writing an emulator. I'm not an emulation expert. I know there are a few here which are very well versed, but I'm hoping that helps gives another perspective. I also gave a presentation on the Z80. It was pre-recorded in the emulation dev room 2 years ago. You can watch the talk. And yesterday on WASM WebAssembly, porting this emulator to the web browser in the Rust dev room. You can also watch the recording when it's online. So this is a small demo. What you see here, the emulator that's running in a native window. Nothing very specific. Okay, so first of all, I'll tell you why I'm giving you this presentation. But before that, has anyone here ever written an emulator before? Okay. Oh, that's quite interesting. Who here knows how to program, how to write code? Oh, nice. That's good, because that's not the goal of this talk. It's not to teaching you how to code, right? You know how to program, and I'm hoping with those skills you'll be able to learn a few. I'll give you a few pointers to how to start, like where to find documentation and things like that. You'll see later. The goal of this talk is not to be exhaustive. Otherwise, it will be a full university course over a semester or something. And I want to also tell you why you should write an emulator. That's something that should come from you. So the focus of this talk will be on simpler platform, because it's always easier to start with something a bit simpler. So what is an emulator first? So a few definitions. It's something I struggled a bit, because they come in many shapes. But in general, it's a software, I would say it's a software program that is used to run software from another computer or another platform, whatever. To give a few examples, here I showed a few screenshots of existing emulators. You have a Game Boy emulator named Semboy. You have another BGB. Some support weird devices like printer. I showed an emulator running on the Android platform for the BBC Micro. There's also an Android emulator itself. So if you want to emulate the computer that runs an Android OS. And I also put something in here which might be debatable, which is the Analog Pocket, which is an emulator using FPGAs, so you write software-defined hardware and you use real cartridges to run software from other platforms. An emulator can have a huge spectrum of, let's say, accuracy, okay? And emulation, what does it emulate? Accuracy is how faithful you will be to the original. When you're emulating something, will it be running like one software? If that's your goal, that's all right. You just emulate enough of the platform to run one game. Will it be running all the available software? Or maybe you want to do even more and be able to run any software that's on the target platform identically as if it was running on real hardware. We call usually it's called clock accurate, but there are us, even in this little spectrum. Before we continue forward, I wanted to show you a crazy example I found a few months ago, of an emulator. It's a Linux emulator. It's a RISC-V emulator of running Linux. written in Scratch. Okay, so Scratch programming language. So we can't really see anything here on the screen, so I'll describe. You have a Linux terminal and game console. It has already booted. I wrote some commands, and here I'm scrolling, and you can see the Scratch code of the RISC-V core. So yeah, emulators comes in all shapes and colors. So you want to write an emulator. Let's go with the first level. What would it be? Starting, how do you start? Okay. So if you want to start, the first thing you have to do is to pick a target. By target is the platform you're going, what I mean is the platform you want to emulate. Okay, you have to pick this target. You have to pick a host platform to start somewhere. Even if your goal is to write something that's portable and running on everything, you have to, again, start somewhere. So you pick a host platform and make sure you have a bit of time. Okay, if you want something that's complete, emulators are it's something that's hard to decide when it's complete. You can always have more features, more things. Yeah, so you don't need to have a lot of time in a short period, but maybe on a longer period it works as well. For example, for my emulator, I started 2 years ago, and I've been working on and off, so it's not something that's taking a lot of time every day. That's what I mean. Where to start? Okay, start simple. Start with the CPU. You pick one CPU instruction. You write some code that will be able to disassemble it, so which means you will take the binary form of this instruction, this one instruction. It will be a few bytes, 1 byte, I don't know. Depends on your platform. Can your code recognize this one instruction? It might seem trivial to you, like, is this a few bytes? But it's how it starts, basically. So you start with this, and then you start adding stuff on top of it. Like, you have your disassembler, it's very useful to debug. Then you add something, which is execution. So you have this CPU. How do you model its state? Okay, what's inside the CPU? Go look for more information on what's the CPU. Model this state, change it, which is basically what executing an instruction does, and verify has the state changed as you expected. So if you want to add something to a variable, you do an add operation in your language. And then let's say it's a good starter, and as you go, you keep learning new CPU concepts and how a CPU works. So this is helpful for starting. So a CPU is the processor. It's the heart of, usually it's considered the heart of consoles. Nowadays it might be GPU, but as I said, this is focused on 8-bit platforms. As I told you, it has states. A CPU is it's a processor. So this state is basically what we call registers. It has other kind of states, but let's start with registers. I told you about an instruction. An instruction is the minimal operation that a CPU can do. It has assembly, an assembly visualization or text. You probably have heard of assembly programming language. That's how you visualize for humans instructions. And it has a binary version, an encoding. And this binary is it's bytes you have to recognize. It has other concepts that are interesting. Interrupts, CPUs usually they can do execute instructions sequentially, or they can also be interrupted. So when they have an event from the outside world, you can change the way it's executing code. Also interesting is how do you access memory? I told you about state. Usually, as a programmer, when you're writing code, you think about variables and things like that. And this hides that on a hardware. State can be on registers or in memory. And the way a CPU accesses memory is also quite interesting. But the goal is not here, again, the goal here is not to teach you those concepts, it's to tell, give you pointers on how to learn. So, we've learned about how we start. Let's talk about how do we structure an emulator. So you've been writing a bit of CPU code. How will you structure the whole emulator? Because the CPU does not make a complete thing. So I'm giving you here an example of an emulator structure. It's a schematic by Rodrigo Copetti, which has been doing a very nice introductory documentation on hardware platforms, the various hardware platforms. And here I took the Master System one. You can see here, as I told you, that it has the CPU as the central part. So it's the square in the middle where it's written Zilog Z80. Then you have other devices that are interesting. I told you about the memory. Here on this platform, you have two kinds of memory. There's ROM and there's RAM. You have IO control, which is how you plug a joystick or at the time it was more small controllers. So this is plugged on this platform on an IO controller, and this is connected to the CPU. You have the game cartridges, so those are a specific type of memory with things like paging in order to access more memory than the CPU can access. It has also a way to generate sound, a small device, a chip called PSG. And this device is from Texas Instruments. It generates very simple sound. It has a video display processor, which would be the ancestors of today's GPUs, and other things like some things to this. The video display processor, it's a bit specific here, but it has access to its own video RAM, okay, which is a concept that you have to think through if you want to emulate this platform. And the video encoder is used for TV output, basically. So it depends, again, on the platform. And this is nothing very special. Like, many platforms of the time had very similar architectures. And this is interesting because as you want to structure your code, your emulator code, you probably will want to follow this structure. You want to take those devices and maybe organize your code, take them as a code boundary and organize your code in modules. I don't know, whatever your language has, functions, objects, classes, namespaces, whatever is on your programming language. It's an interesting code boundary to know, okay, this device will be emulated like this, with a little device like that. Another trick I'd like to share is when you're writing an emulator, you don't have to think about optimization too much, but you're allowed to optimize a bit early. For example, you're writing a CPU. It's a very simple thing. You probably want it to be fast. It's something that will have to be very fast. You might want to, for example, not do allocations on the emulation path. If you know what memory allocation is, it means that you won't. It's something that can be quite costly. It's very useful, but when you're emulating, it's not something you want to do every other instructions or every instruction. You might want to use jump tables. This one, okay, it's debossable. Depending on your language, it might be automatic. And quite a common advice we see when advising people to write an emulator is that you should write a vertical slice. What does that mean? That means you have all those things. You know, I told you about the CPU, the video display processor, the audio. And if you go into writing an emulator, you probably want to see results quickly. And That means that you will write support for a few CPU instructions and then a bit of display code, so that very quickly you'll be able to have feedback and see, I don't know, the screen that's showing something like the Nintendo logo on a Game Boy or Sega on a whatever. And yeah, you can do that. That's not what I did. do what works best for you. For example, I told you I gave you a talk 2 years ago on the ZIT first demo. It was a pre-recorded talk, and at the time I had nothing else but a CPU. So yeah, so it's it depends on what you want to do. Yeah. Do not hesitate if you have any questions. No, maybe we'll take them at the end because they are recorded. No, sorry about that. more at the end. Okay, another trick is that I showed you a bit here. I told you a bit here about the disassembler before. You should disassemble or write the text version, the assembly version of instructions. It will be very useful to have a debugger. You might want to build debugging tooling to debug what's happening inside your emulator early, okay? Because you will have bugs, you will have emulation bugs. So build this tooling early. Or you can use already existing tooling, like here you have the Emulicious. Emulator is a great one. It's not open source, unfortunately, but you should really definitely check it out. It's a multi-platform emulator.